Good morning, everybody. Yashikarach for coming. Okay, the title today of the Shir Be'ezus Hashem is going to be discussing the halachic consequences of a resurrected individual, Mesim Shechayu, cases where we have bona fide a case where somebody, Leilenu, passed away and they were somehow resurrected. And what does that mean? Are they the same person, a different person? And what does that have to do with this week's parasha number one? So that's the source number one. This week's parasha coming up, Parasha Sisra, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Chesam and Beis, discussing various agadas of Matan Torah, says as follows. V'am Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says Rabbi Shua ben Levi, this is source number one where it's bracketed off. Kol dibur v'dibur shiyatzam pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every dibur that emanated from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yatzasa nishmasun shal Yisrael, the soul of the Jewish people departed them. Shneimar, as the pasuk says in Shir Shirim, Nafshi yotza b'dabroi, our souls went out by the utterance of Hashem. So, Umeach Hashem edibo harishon, the Gemara continues, once the first utterance was uttered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yotza nishmason, so the Klai Yisrael were no longer there. So, dibra sheni hei chibla, how did they get the second dibra? They're no longer Klai Yisrael, they have all been expired. Seemingly from the simple reading of the Gemara. So how did they get the next dibor? Says the Gemara, Hayrit Tal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down the dew, She'asid lahachi yisbay mesim, which he's going to use in the future, Meher b'yemenu, to bring back all the mesim, V'hichya yisam, and he revived Klal Yisrael, Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Geshem nedovo yistanef elakim, a like bountiful rain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rained upon us, brought upon us, Nachalascha v'nila ata kainanta, our heritage was worn out, so to speak, and as HaKadosh Baruch Hu established us firmly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us back. The Gemara here is clearly saying that by Matan Torah, we all heard the first dibur from the Shechina itself, and it all caused all of Klal Yisrael to lose their neshamos, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revived us with this tal, l'hachias bayis ha-mesim. This is what it has to do. We're going to tie it into this week's Parsha Yisroel, where we're going to get the Aseres HaDibris. And as we see, so we all died at Matan Torah. Okay. We're all familiar as well with the stories, the two stories in Sefer Malachim, one of Eliyahu in Malachim Aleph, right, where Eliyahu went ahead and he was revived the son of the Tzarfatis, the Isha Tzarfatis. He went ahead and he revived her after the son had died. And a similar story happened in the beginning of Malachim Beis, where Elisha went ahead and revived the Ben HaShunamis. So we're not going to recap. I didn't bring down all those psukim here. We're familiar with those stories. There's another story which goes a little quicker in Malachim and Perek, in Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, where shortly after Elisha Hanavi died, they were burying somebody else, and then there was an attack, and the cook had to drop the corpse they were burying, and that corpse came in contact with Elisha's corpse, and all of a sudden that corpse also became alive just by touching Elisha's bones. Okay, I'm just showing you the different stories throughout Tanakh as well, that we have this phenomenon that people came back through the work of a Navi. For those who are learning Daf Yomi, there's actually Gemara in last week's Daf Yomi and Daf Yonam and Beis. The story there was talking about the relationship between Rebbe and Antoninus. Antoninus was the leader of the day, and Rebbe was the leader of the Yidden at the day, and they had a very unique relationship. And Antoninus would go, and he had a secret tunnel built between his palace where he lived and Rebbe's house. And they would go, and they would have conversations every day, and he had an agreement with the Rebbe that no one's allowed to know that we have this agreement, no one's allowed to know I come, and he had these guards every day who would stand at the edges of both ends of the tunnel, and every day when they would complete their job, he would get rid of those guards, and there should be no witnesses around that ever saw Antoninus go visit Rebbe. So once the Gemara recounts that one day, Antoninus came to visit Rebbe, and Rabbi Chanina was there, and Antoninus got upset and said, we made a deal. No one's allowed to be. No one's allowed to know that I come. And Rebbe said, don't worry. This is not a person. He's really a malach. And meaning he's trying to tell Antoninus, this is my prized student who's on a very high level. You don't have to be concerned that anything that goes on between us will ever see the light of day. It'll still remain a secret. And Antoninus said, okay. He tells Rebbe Chanina, go to the entrance where I just came in and tell the guard, give him a message. Or he told him to tell the guard something or wake him up and bring him here, something like that. So Rebbe Chanina says, oh, okay. And he goes and he sees that the guard was killed already. Antoninus killed the guard when he came to visit Rebbe. So he says, what do I do now? If I don't bring the guard, so I'm defying the word of Antoninus. So he was Mechayim Esim, he brings the guard, and he shows Antoninus, okay, here's the guard. Antoninus realizes that he's not dealing with a regular person over here. Antoninus obviously is on a very high madriga, and Antoninus utters the words, Yadana, I realize now, Zuti, even the small ones amongst you, meaning compared to Rebbe, meaning even Rebbe's Talmidim, the Isbuchu Machayim Esim, even the smaller rabbis among you have the ability to machaye mesim. That's quite an utterance by Antoninus the Goy, but we just from this Gemara we see that again the idea that the Tanoim were on such a high madrega that it wasn't necessarily considered out of their league to be machaye mesim. Similarly, the Gemara is going to be, I think, in next week's Daf Yomi on Chafam Ebeiz and Avodah Zarah, the Braisa of Pinchas Ben Yair, which is the whole prerequisite for Mesilas Yesharim, right? Torah Mevila De Zahiras, Zahiras Mevila De Zrizas, etc. Climb the ladder, the last steps of the ladder of Ruach HaKadosh Mevila De Tchias HaMeisim. The way Mesilas Yesharim explains it is that someone who gets all the way to the end of the ladder, a lifetime, if not of more, of work, will be able to be Mechai Meisim. So this is a part of our, I guess, emuna, or our belief in the Koyach of Torah, Koyach of Tzadikim, they have this power. Okay, so we all believe it. And now we're going to, that's just a introduction to discussing now what the halacha is going to come out of it. And hopefully at the end, even though nowadays we might not be exposed to tzaddikim on this level that are able to be mechayim meisim, but it does have some practical nafkaminas as well, which we'll get to at the end. So let's start now with the famous Gemara on source number 2. It's coming up in the month to Purim. So the famous Gemara that happened on Purim many years ago in times of the Gemara. The Gemara first introduces the halacha that Rava tells us, Machayev inish lebesum b'puraya, a person is obligated to become intoxicated on Purim, ad la yada bein araham lebaruch Mordechai. That's a great halacha. Every boy from the age of 6 or 7 is very well versed in this halacha, and that's for a different shir. What was the story the Gemara says? Rabba v'Rab Zera. Rabba and Rab Zera avdu sudas Purim b'hadi hadadi. They made a sudas Purim together. Ifsum, and they got drunk. Come Rabba shachted Rab Zera. Rabba went and got up in his drunken stupor and was shachat, he shachted Rab Zera. Lamachar, the next day, boy Rachami, Rabba davin. So seemingly a whole night went by and Rab Zera was dead. V'achye, Rabba revived Rab Zera the next day, brought him back to life. L'shana, the next day, the next year, Amar Le, so Rabba invites Rab Zera again. Nasi Marav Navid Sudas Purim Bahadi Adadi. Rabba calls back his good friend Rab Zera and says, let's do a Sudas Purim again. We had such a great time last year. You had such a good night's sleep, Rab Zera. So what does Rab Zera tell Rabba? Amar Le, Loi B'chol Shaita V'Shaita Misrach HaShnisa. Miracles don't happen every year, every day. So I cannot rely on the fact that a miracle will happen again. And therefore, Rab Zera politely refuses Rabba's invitation. Okay. That's the Gemara, and this is a great discussion for the halachas of getting drunk on Purim. Maybe this year or a different time we can discuss those halachas. But for now, we're going to discuss a different aspect of this story. Rab Zera was dead. Let's just say, for argument's sake, he was dead for 6 hours. He was dead the night. What happened to Rab Zera's wife at that time? What happened to Rab Zera's assets? A person who dies, the Zerusha kicks in. Even if the children, the inheritors of the person don't split up the money yet, but it automatically goes into what's called the tfusas habayis. It goes into an enterprise of an estate that now is not the person's anymore. So now Rab Zera shows back up. Is his wife still his wife? Are they still married? Does he still own his car and his house and whatever his assets were? Does he still have all these things? If he owed people money, like where does he fall in? Is he the same Rab Zera? Is he a different Rab Zera? Rab Zera was a kayin. Is he still a kayin now? All these questions have to be dealt with. What is his status right now? So let's go to source number 3, and that's the Be'er Heitiv. That's in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't quote the Shulchan Aruch here, but the Shulchan Aruch says the halacha here that an Eishes Ish, a married woman, she's married, and in Kedushin Toifsimov, a person will go over to a woman who's already married, she's halachically married, go to Sprinzel and say, Sprinzi, you know, here's a ring, you're married to me. It's a joke, it doesn't work, because since she's halachically married, a woman can only be married to one man, and therefore, if a person tries to be Taifas Kedushin, tries to do Kedushin with her, it doesn't work. It's invalid. So the halacha, the Be'er Heitiv brings down the following interesting halachas here, and that's where it's bracketed off. The first case he discusses, which we'll mention briefly now, but we're not going to discuss so much today, is Eishes Eliyahu HaNavi. What's the halachic status of the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi? Quick recap, Eliyahu HaNavi, towards the end of his life, he doesn't have a regular death. He gets into a fiery chariot, goes up for a ride, and he's never seen from again in that exact form. We have all different, you know, other Gemaras of Eliyahu HaNavi coming back, but he kind of just ascends to Shemayim without a regular death. So what happened to his wife? We know there's two ways for a woman who's married to become mutter. Either she has to get a get, she gets a bill of divorce, then she's now permitted to remarry, or her husband has to die. If her husband dies, she's permitted to get remarried. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't die. He just went upstairs. He got an express route without death. So what happened to Eliyahu HaNavi's wife? And furthermore, Reb Shua Ben Levi, the Gemara recounts, Reb Shua Ben Levi had a whole discussion with the Malach HaMavis, and he tricked him, and he jumped into Gan Eden without the Malach HaMavis killing him. Okay, we're not going to get into those details now, but it's a similar idea where he kind of bypassed the death route, and went a different route. So are they allowed to get married or not? So he says, the Be'er Heitav, quoting the Trumas Hadeshen, says, Mutaras Linaseh, he allows them to get remarried. He makes up a halacha. Just mentioned briefly, he says, because the Torah says when you're married to a man, Eshes Re'eyo, but not Eshes Malach. These people became Malachim, so now, even though it's not death, but they're not human beings anymore, and therefore the wives are permitted. Says the Be'er Heitav, why are we writing this halacha? For nafkamina l'dayres, it has an implication, halachic ramifications for future generations. Im yiske echad k'mayhei, meaning it's not completely theoretical. Don't think this question was only theoretical in times of Eliyahu HaNavi or Bishur Balevi. If someone is zeich, even in our generation, to this miraculous event, we have to know what the halachic status of their wife is, and according to the Be'er Heitav, their wife would now be permitted. Okay, that's his coin, Darkei Moshe b'shem Maharai, Darkei Moshe, name of Maharai, which is the Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, the next case, after the period. Third line down. In Mesa Isha Achas, if a woman dies, Tachas Bailo, while she's still married, Misa Vadois, so you have a nice couple, the woman passes away, and she's for sure dead. Vishuv Chisa Ayade Navi, then she's revived, she's brought back to life, resurrected, excuse me, through a prophet, Kimai, Elio Leben Atzarfasis, like Elio did to the son of the woman who was from Tarfis, Velisha Leben Ashunamis, and Elisha did to the son of the Isha Ashunamis. So again, he's saying a case here, this is an important distinction of a woman who dies, and he's bringing a raya from a case of these children who died, and they were revived. But his question is, if a woman died, loipoka zikas habal me'aleha, and then she's revived, so the connection of the husband to her, the relationship did not evaporate, didn't go away. Ve'eina yichayli nasachash, now she gets revived, she's not allowed to marry somebody else, unless she will get divorced properly, meaning she's still halachically married to her first husband. So again, you have Reuven and Leah are married. Leah dies for sure. The Navi comes on your door. He knocks on your door and he says, anybody dead in the house? I can revive today. Guy says, yeah, my wife. She's, the Navi revives the wife. The wife gets up. They're now completely married, the same as was as before. She could be dead for a minute, an hour, a day. Doesn't make a difference. Seemingly over here, she is still married. V'yesh sa'ad, I have a proof to this. May uvda de eshes Rab Chanina ben Chakinoi, from the wife of the story of the wife of Rab Chanina ben Chakinoi, k'subes taf samach beiz on beiz v'duk k'nes ha'gdoila. He's quoting the Sefer K'nes ha'gdoila. So the Be'er Heitav here paskins, again, a woman who dies and she's revived through a Navi. We don't have a precedent for this in the Sefer HaNaviim. Again, the Sefer HaNaviim discussed case of children that died. So he says, I do have a proof to it though, from a case of a Gemara in K'subes, which we'll get to in a moment, of the wife of Rab Chanina ben Chakinoi, that they are still married. So what's that story? So that's source number 4. There's a mistake in the header of source number 4. It says Ksuba Staf Pechesan Beis. It's supposed to be Samach Beis on Beis. I made a typo. Okay. So the Gemara there says as follows. I'll just paraphrase the story to move along quickly. Rab Chanina ben Chakinoi was by the chasna of Rab Shimon bar Yochai. And as the chasna is coming to an end, he's packing up his suitcase. He's getting ready to go back to yeshiva. Shimon bar Yochai says, please wait a minute. Wait a week. I want to finish Shev Brachas and come with you back to yeshiva. I got married ready. Shev Brachas are over in a week. Wait for me. We'll travel together. But Chanina ben Chakinoi does not listen to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He says, I don't have time to wait a week for you to finish Shev Brachas, come back to yeshiva. I got to go now. He goes to yeshiva, and as it was in the old days, he stays in yeshiva for 12 years. He comes back 12 years later, and his hometown where his wife and children were living, they had changed the street. Something happened, and he couldn't figure out how to get back to his house. Everything was messed up. They built new highways, new bridges, whatever it was. He couldn't figure out where he was supposed to go. So he figured he'll go to the banks of the river, he'll sit by the river and try to meet some locals and figure out where his house is. As he's by the river banks, he hears some young girls there drawing water, and they're calling out to one of the girls, and they say, Bas Chakinoi, the daughter of Chakinoi, which was Rab Chanina's father. So they're saying, the daughter of Chakinoi, which is either, now the Mefarshim discussed, either this was his sister, or really was his daughter, but she's just being called by the grandfather's name, because the grandfather raised her, because her father was in yeshiva. Mali kulasech v'tei nozel, go fill up your jug of water and come with us. So he says, oh, this girl is either my daughter or somehow related to me, so let me go follow her. So three lines to the bottom, he goes and follows her. So he says, Azal Basra, I'm reading two lines from the bottom now, have a yasiva devisu, his wife was sitting, is there, as he got close, he sees his wife sitting there, kanohale kimcha, she's like sifting, she's sieving through the flour, she's filtering the flour, dol ene, she lifts her eyes, chazite, she sees her husband there, sava liba, her heart flutters, she has a heart attack, I don't know what you call it, uparach rucha, she passes away because of the shock, she goes into shock by seeing her husband after 12 years, Amar Lafanas, Rabbi Chanina Chakinoi says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Aniya Zuzeschara, this impoverished woman, Nebuch, she spent the last 12 years waiting for us to come back from yeshiva. I finally come back, and this is the reward she gets. She passes away. Boy Rachame Allah V'chaya, so he beseeches mercy on her, and she comes back to life. So that's the Gemara over here. The wife of Chanina Bar Chakinoi comes back from yeshiva after 12 years. He revives her. The Gemara doesn't say that they had to get remarried. Seemingly, they were still husband and wife. So it says the Ber Heitev, he's quoting the Knesset Gedolah. Again, you see the Chayr from here, a proof that a woman who dies, she comes back alive. They're still completely married. No new Kedushin is necessary. It's not rock solid proof. The Gemara doesn't say they didn't need to get remarried. But just seemingly from the way the Gemara quotes the story, seems to imply that they did not do another Kedushin. Just for intellectual honesty, not all Mefarshim learned the Gemara as I translated it. Some Mefarshim learned the Gemara is that she just kind of fainted. She passed out. The Gemara doesn't say she died. It used the words parcha rucha. Her spirit left her. Some Mefarshim learned the Gemara that she just, you know, she passed out. She went, she fainted, right? And then he davened. He didn't have to do CPR. He just davened, and that was enough to wake her up. They have to bring the smelling salts. But some Mefarshim do learn the Gemara that she actually did die. But it's interesting because the Gemara does not use the word mace over here. The Gemara just uses the word parcha rucha. Okay, now the Birki... Well, that he just is able to revive her just by davening, perhaps that's also an ace, or the fact that, you know, that's a good question. Maybe it's utterly moving from the story as well. Yeah, Moshe.
Yeah, and exactly about being shocked. Like, how can a person exactly die from being shocked?
That's a good question. We have to ask our local doctors how that works, how that goes, and how that works exactly. But we'll accept that as now as a fact. That could happen. Well, that was the first Gemara we started with. We're going to get to our Gemara again, the Gemara as we start with, and we'll get back to Har Sinai again shortly. Let's first go through a couple more Maamakimis. In the Chidah, in the Sefer Birkei Yosef, that source number 5, he really opens up this sugya, this question, and broadens it a lot. And in the second big paragraph there, it says, on the right column, it says, V'yeshel is topic. Let's bring up this discussion, like we said before, the wife of Rab Zera, when Rab Zera was killed, and that was clear that he was dead, Vade Paki Kedushe Vahutra the Shuk, her Kedushin for sure was went away, and now she's permitted. And therefore, when Abzera woke up the next morning, they had to get remarried. And then, or halfway down the paragraph, after the period, he says, Idilma, or perhaps you'll say that the only time a woman becomes permitted when her husband dies is Dafka Kasher Mace, Vinishar Mace, when the husband dies and he remains dead. Ach, the Chidah writes, the Birkei Yosef writes, Kishaloi Nikbar, if the husband was never buried, V'chai, and he was brought back alive, Ayidei Navi, a chassid, through a prophet or a chassid, Igloi Milsa, we see from here, D'aysa Misa, L'aysa Misa, K'mayis Kaldin, it's not a real death. It might have looked to us human beings, might look like a death, but since the Navi was able to do it, perhaps you can argue and say, that's not considered a death. So that's his suffix. How do we view it? So on top of the left column, he says, at face value, he wants to bring a raya from a Yerushalmi. He says, L'fum riata, it says in the beginning of that paragraph on the top of the left, he brings a raya from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi discusses the following case. A husband is traveling, and this was, the Gemara discussed many of these type of cases, and he was afraid that, you know, it's dangerous to travel, and he's afraid he might not make it back, or he might get lost. So he gives his wife a get al tanai. He says, if I don't come back within 12 months, this get should be valid. And if I come back, then we'll still be married. So just this way, it's a protective. So in case the husband gets lost at sea, we don't know what happens. It shouldn't be in Aguna. She should always have this insurance policy in place that she can get remarried after 1 year in case the husband doesn't come back. And if the husband would come back after 12 months, comes back 14 months later, they're not married. And if they want to get remarried, that's up to the woman, if she wants to get remarried to him or not. Okay, so the Gemara there has a discussion of a certain halachic nuance. If he didn't say the nusach properly, whether or not it's valid or not, I don't want to get stuck on that nuance of it. But the Gemara says, let's say the husband died within that period. Is she allowed to get remarried or not? So the Gemara in the Yerushalmi quotes a machlaikis, and it says, Rabbi Yaisi says, she can't get remarried. Why? This is a couple, 4 or 5 lines down the left column over there. It says, Ani Oimer, Nasu Lai Nisin V'choya. A miracle might happen to him. He might come back to life. So we can't say that within 12 months, just because the husband died, she's for sure permitted to get remarried, because who knows what might happen. A Navi might trip over him and wake him up, and then he'll come back home and they'll still be married within 12 months. So, says the Yerushalmi, we cannot say for sure that she should be permitted. Now, says the Chidah, the Birkei Yosef says, even though our Gemara, the Bavli, doesn't quote this possibility, doesn't bring this in the range of possibility. We have to be concerned that a Navi is going to bump into this dead fellow and revive him. Nonetheless, he says, Nira, this is about 10 lines down, after the period over there, it says, Nira, Dehagam de Bishomai Shemes, Loi Chashinon Klal Lamaisa Nisim Sheyichya, even though we're not concerned, Nesar for Maisa Nisim Sheyichya, Dezele Shchicha Klal, and I just skip a couple more lines now, but halfway down where it says, Mikom Akaim, Lamadnu Mayashami, nonetheless, we learned a principle from this Yushami, Dim Achar Shemes, after someone dies, Nasu Nisim V'chai, he has a miracle and he gets revived, resurrected. Akati agita beishta. You see, though, that the wife is still connected to him, meaning they're still married. Zois v'loy mahani lo shemeis vada. Let me just speak this out. So even though our Gemara is not concerned, in the Bavli and the Halacha Lamaisas, we're not concerned that a Navi is going to find this guy and resuscitate him or resurrect him, and he's going to come back home. But the principle of the matter is that if that would happen, they're still married. Again, the Bavli just says we don't have to be concerned that someone's going to resurrect him. And therefore, she's immediately mutter to go ahead and get remarried once she gets valid witnesses or she knows for sure that the husband's dead. So we don't have to be concerned. But let's say Taka, the husband, would get resurrected and would now walk into the door. We don't have any raya from the Bavli that the Bavli would say they're not married. So therefore, it says to the Birki Yaisa, it seems to me that even if someone, even according to us, the Halacha Lamaisa, if we know for sure that someone is resurrected and he came back to life from the death, from the dead, they are still married and they're still husband and wife. The Zika, the connection between the husband and wife was not Paka. So again, even though the riots from Yushalmi that we don't paskin like, but in the lundus behind it is that they are still connected in marriage, and that says the Chidah is true la Halacha, and therefore the Chidah paskins. Seemingly, he says, this is what I would assume, this is the correct pshat in the Yerushalmi, and he says at the end, the last four or five lines, he says, even though you could question on my thinking, he says, Ani amarti b'chavzi, I'm saying this quick, off the cuff, this is what I think, this is the right halacha, that they're still married, and the raya is from this Yerushalmi. Now, in source number six, I brought down part of the Yerushalmi there that the Yechidah was quoting. We're not going to speak it out right now, you can look it up, but just to let you know, there are mefarshim who are matcha the raya. They push off the raya from the Yerushalmi of the Chidah, and they say the reason why the Yerushalmi says maybe Yaisi is concerned Nasla Nisim V'Chaya is because since he made a Tanai, if I don't come back within 12 months, this get should be Chal. So if he comes back, so you can't say she's divorced because he's here. Even though he was revived, resuscitated, resurrected, but Lamaisa, he made a stipulation, and that stipulation wasn't fulfilled because he now walked in the door. So there are those that say that the Raya from Yerushalmi is not foolproof because all we see from here is that if he would come back, not necessarily that they're still married, but you can't say that the get is in Chal, meaning it's kind of, you're kind of stuck in between because he died, now he's back. Is he the same person? Not the same person. Well, but he did make a condition. The way he spoke was that if I don't walk through this door, he is physically walking through this door right now. He's back within 12 months, then the get shouldn't be Chal. Maybe they shouldn't be married because the death itself was Paka the Kedushin, but maybe not. Okay, I'm just bringing the point that there are those Mefarshim who learn this Yushalmi is not a proof that even the Bavli would agree that there is still a connection between the husband and wife, because maybe you can argue since he made a Tanai here, since he made a stipulation, perhaps that stipulation still is around, it's still Kayim, because Lamaisa, he came back before 12 months. Okay, so that's the Chidah, how he paskins, based on the Yerushalmi, that they are still married. Comes along the Ben Yehoyada, in source number 7, the Ben Ishchai. He's commenting on that Gemara of Rabba and Rab Zera. We said before that Rabba was Shachti the Rab Zera. And he doesn't quote the Chidah in the Sefer Birkei Yosef, but he quotes the Chidah in one of his 70 other Svarim. The Chidah wrote over 70 Svarim, and the Chidah, and when you write over 70 Svarim, there's bound to be some things that might be repeated from one Sefer to the other. So the Chidah in the Sefer on Masechtas Megillah called Pesach Inayim, so there he has a similar question, what's going to be the halacha with the status of the wife of Rab Zera? And then about just the first three, four lines are the same. And then about four lines on the top of that paragraph in source number 7, after the period, the Ben Yehoyada writes as follows. Vana Avda, and I, the servant, meaning he's being humble to the Ben Ishchai, the Ben Ishchai, that's the Ben Yehoyada, is being humble to the Chidah. Hevesi Raya Lazeh, I want to bring a Raya to the Birkei Yosef's Halacha, Min Yisrael, from Klal Yisrael. Sheparcha Nishmasim Matan Torah, like we started with before, Klal Yisrael all lost their soul by Matan Torah. V'hayir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tal Shetachiyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down the dew of Tchiyas HaMeisim, like we said, and revived them. We don't find that all Klai Yisrael on the march home from Har Sinai had all pull out rings and be Mekadosh the wife again.
One second.
We're going to get to that pasuk in a minute. But at this point, he's saying the raya of Ben Yayada is that we see that Klai Yisrael all died at Matan Torah. They all went back home afterwards. We don't find anywhere that they had to do a new kedushin. He says that should be a raya to the halacha of the chida that no new kedushin is necessary. I'm pushing off for a reason because we'll get to that soon. Hillel is raising a good point. The next raya, he says, that's raya number one, that the marriage is still valid.
There's no difference if Hashem revives a person versus a Navi.
Seemingly, yeah. Because it's interesting, I was thinking about that, because the Gemara in Tainus tells us that there are three keys which HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to. One of them is the key of Tchiyas HaMeisim, right? Mm-hmm. The Gemara in Tainus, right? Tchiyas HaMeisim. So, but nonetheless, we start off with that the Nevi'im had that key, they had access, and we saw in the Gemara, the Tanaim had access, the Amorayim had access to it, so I'm not exactly sure. It seemed like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he gives out that key to whoever Zeich had to get it, then it should be the same thing. The second raya the Ben Yayada brings is the three lines from the bottom after the period. It says, "V'oid havesi raya of another raya to halacha." Mimashenemar perak yud nida. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida of Ayinam Abayz brings different questions that a nation asked Bishua ben Chanina, and the Gemara there says, "Shalor Bishua ben Chanina ben Ashunamis imitame." They asked Yeshua ben Chanina, the Ben Ashnamis, that's the person that Elisha, the child that Elisha revived, resuscitated, resurrected, is he susceptible to give off tumah or not? Veheishiv lahem, and Yeshua ben Chanina responded, Meis metame, ve'ein chay metame, v'uadin halcha. He says, he told them that only a meis is metame, that child is not dead, the child is alive, and therefore the child's not going to give off tumah, and therefore it says the Ben Yod, the same thing over here, will say that the person's not really dead, and therefore they are still married. Again, so the second raya is from the case where they asked Rabbi Shua ben Chanina, is the Ben Ashunamis, is that child metame or not? And the way the Ben Yodas quoted the Gemara, they said that only a mace is metame, not a chais. That seems to imply that even once the Navi resurrected the child, it seems like Lamafreya, there was never a death here, and therefore that should be a raya. The problem with this raya is, if you look up that Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara over there is that Rashi learns that the question was only on after he's resurrected. Meaning, but they understood that for sure when the child was dead, for sure there was tumah, and there's raya to this, for sure there was tumah, meaning, again, the Isha Shunamis has a child, the child dies in the attic. She goes to run to find Elisha. So, for argument's sake, for a couple of hours, the child's in that room. So there's tumas oil there, the child's dead. Now that the child is revived, they were asking Yeshua ben Chanina, is he still a dead person walking? So now wherever he goes, he's transmitting tumas oil, or if touches things, whatever, or not. So he says no. Once he's back alive, he's back alive. But Rashi learns the Gemara there clearly that whatever for the 6 hours, wherever it was, that this child was dead, he was dead. It was full-fledged tumah. So that would seem to imply, if you learn like Rashi, perhaps you can argue on this raya of the Ben Yayada and say no. For the time the person was, a woman is dead, she's dead, and there's no marriage, there's no connection between the husband and wife. If she comes back alive, she's a new person now, and maybe they will have to have a new marriage. I'm just saying the raya also is not foolproof because the Gemara they was only discussing after the person was resuscitated, after this child was resuscitated, what's their status? We don't say they're a dead man walking, they're a live man walking right now, and therefore there's no tumah. So this woman is a live woman walking now, so she's a new woman, not necessarily the same woman as she was before. Because if you learn the Gemara there, the question was that even while they're dead, maybe there's no tumah. Because since we see, why were they asking this question? Well, that was the guy's question. The guy asked that question. So, and I'm not sure how much we have to work on that havamina. Meaning, it was the okay. And the Gemara prefaces that question was in the category of a boor's question.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, fine. Now, so then we have. So we're back and forth. Now we have the chida and the ben ish chai both learning, seemingly that there is a continued relationship even. After a person was resurrected, they're still married. And other Paiskim are arguing and saying there's no proof, there's no foolproof raya that their relationship is continuing. Now, there's a fascinating Klichemda is ala Torah. And he quotes here from a kuntres called Oivar Oirach, a couple lines down. The kuntres Oivar Oirach was written by Rabbi Elio David Rabinowitz Tumim. That was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine. And he has a lot of chashuvah svarim of Eliyahu Dov Rabinowitz Tumim, and there he brings the following discussion. I'll just speak it out outside now. He says the Gemara in Brachis has a discussion that Rabbi Zera was sick, he recuperated, and Rabbi Avo made a suda in honor of Rabbi Zera's recovery from his illness. It comes time to benching, it comes time to break the bread at the beginning of the meal by tzeyah, to give out the challah, give out the bread, and Rabbi Avo is machabed Rabbi Zera to break the bread. And Rabbi Zera says, no, you're the Baal Bais, you should do it. Okay, so the Rishayim ask, he brings a Rashba who says, what was Rabbi Avo thinking? Why did Rabbi Avo want to honor Rabbi Zera? The Gemara there is discussed in the halacha that the Baal Bais should always be the one to break the bread, because since it's his house, he'll be the most generous to give out the bread. A guest never knows if he should give out big pieces, small pieces, but the Baal Bais will give out big pieces to be generous. So the Rashba asks, why was Rabbi Avo giving Rabbi Zera this honor? Rabbi Zera was a guest. So the Rashba answers, because since the Suda was the whole thing was done as in Rabbi Zera's honor for his recovery, he was the guest of honor, so to speak, as if he's the host of the party, because the whole dinner was in honor of him. Therefore, he gave Rabbi Zera the honor of breaking the bread. That's what the Rashba says. Ask the Aderes, that's Rabbi El Dov Rabinowitz Tumim, I don't understand. The Gemara tells Rabbi Zera was a Kayin. So of course Rabbi Yavo was going to be Mechabed Rabbi Zera to give out the bread. Mm-hmm. He's a Kayin Vikidashta. We have to honor the Kayin. And one of the things is, besides not just benching, but he gets the schus to give out to make the bracha first. We might see everybody. That's his kasha. So he answers, you know what? This story must have taken place after Rabbi Zera was killed by Rabbah. And therefore, once Rabbi Zera was killed, he was a Kayin the first time around. But the second time around, he's not a Kayin anymore. He got a new lease on life. He's happy to be alive, but he's no longer a Kayin. He's Ice Kayin, says that Deris. Once he's Ice Kayin, so therefore, there's no reason why Rav Avoh has to be machabed him because he's a Kayin. The only reason he has to be machabed him to make him make the bracha is because dinner was done in his honor. That's what the Aderis wanted to suggest. So you see from this, the Aderis is understanding that when a person dies and he's resuscitated, or I say resurrected, he is a whole new person. Now again, he's discussing the halacha of kahuna, but the chayra we could extract from here should be the same thing. His marriage should not be the same. He's a whole new person. He's a whole new bria. Zepanu chadashes balakan. However, the Kli Chemda takes great issue with this psak. He says, I don't know where the Aderis gets this idea from. About two-thirds of the way down after the period there, it says, V'loy Eida mak Omar Mar. I don't know what the great master is saying. There are kol kayin hu kayin machashu ben kayin. You're a kayin because you're born a kayin. He says, just because a person died and got revived or resuscitated or resurrected doesn't take away from the fact that he's a kayin. He's still considered Yolud Isha. He's still considered a human being, and therefore he's always remains a kohen. So they're arguing in this aspect, but it's also with chayra, it would shed light on this discussion as well, perhaps whether or not someone who is resurrected keeps the kahunaship, and the chayra whether or not they could keep their wife in the same relationship. The next page, source number 9, although it says 10, it's a mistake. It should be 9. I skipped 9. I don't know what happened to it. It disappeared. I forgot. I made a mistake. But here we go. The Avinezer is discussing a long tshuva about a certain case that came up in Aguna Shaila, came up, and at the end of the tshuva, what's Nagat to us, he quotes from his son, the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel told him that an Amana, a case, this wasn't the exact case that he was actually discussing, but it became, you know, the conversation evolved into this. Amana Shabaila Chazur Chai, K'uvda Dekom Rabba V'Shachtel Erb Zer, this story. So he said, the Shemi Shmuel told his father, the Avnezer, again, the Avnezer was the Sachachov Rebbe, his son, the successor of Sachachov was the Shmuel, that was the Sfarim Shemi Shmuel, we have him here on the shelf. And so he tells his father that the Kedushin's Chal, because he says, this is 4 or 5 lines from the top, Ki b'chol shah misas habal shumeis achshav matira. The Shemi Shmuel told his father, because every second, the death is what's matering her. So once the death goes away, then she's now back married to him. Again, he's learning that the way, a woman is married, so there's only 2 ways that she can now become permissible. Either a get, or the husband dies. The Shemi Shmuel told his father, the way Misa, Lomnus, and how Misa works, is that because once a person dies, he's continuously dead, so that continuum of death is what's continuously being matir, the woman, to get remarried. Once you turn that off, because you resuscitated the guy, so then, she doesn't have that continued heter of death anymore, so now she's now still married to her husband. He's learning that the lumpness of death permitting a woman to get remarried is not something that, it's not a one-time event, it's rather something that continuously runs. And therefore, if that, for every reason, stops because the Navi comes along and resuscitates the person, therefore, Shemi Shmuel told his father that the woman now should be still married to her husband.
So does that mean if the woman would get married while he was dead?
Oh. That,
so then once he gets revived, the kedusha is bottled.
That's a good question. I didn't ask that question because I don't know how to answer that. Okay. Meaning, what would happen? Right. The place we discuss this question, or Florence asked us a similar question. Let's say a husband, his wife, Leilenu, dies, and he goes ahead. Let's say his wife dies, okay, and then he would go ahead and marry her sister. That's allowed after if a person, while his wife is alive, can marry the sister. But once the first wife dies, the person is allowed to marry his wife's sister. So let's say he would marry his wife's sister, and then his wife would come back. First wife would come back. So now what? Who's he married to? Or a similar question, right? Florence, I'm not answering this question. I don't know how to answer these questions. These are too complicated. But we're going to discuss Halach HaMaisa in a minute. But that was a Shemi Shmuel's proof. That was his lumnus to the Avnezer. And the Avnezer says, about five lines out, V'niflesi, and I was astounded by my son's logic. He says, I think you're incorrect. The way a get works, he told his son, is that if a person tells his wife today, you are no longer my wife, here's your get, but tomorrow you'll be my wife, this get only works for one day, it doesn't work. Meaning, the get works, and they can't just, you know, turn it on, turn it off. It's not an on and off switch. Today we're divorced, tomorrow we're married, today I'm dead, tomorrow I'm alive. It's an off switch. Once it's off, it's off. If you want to get remarried, you got to get remarried. He says, Gittin works like that. Death works like that. Once it's off, it's off. If you want to reignite, you got to start again. He says, listen to this raya he brings. This blew me away. He says, V'gufa chidish, d'chol shas, misa's baila matir. And that which you wanted to tell me, that misa is a continuum, that it continues always being matir, the woman, it's not true. Mavur ha-hepech, I'll prove to you you're wrong from a Ramah and your Adeasim and Reish Samach Zayin Sif Samachay, Vu Batur B'Shem HaRamah. So, okay, I'm not familiar with Reish Samach Zayin Sif Samachay, so I went to look it up. What's it discussing over there? Discussing halacha of avodim, slaves. The halacha is that if the adon dies, and the slaves are gedolim, they get to go free. Okay? Or the yarshim actually inherit them. Okay? Now, you have a halacha like this. You have a ger, someone who's a convert, and he has no children. At least no children from when he converted. Okay? So the halacha is nichse hager, a ger when he dies, his nechasim are hefker. Okay, so you have a ger, he owns avodim, and he dies. So if those avodim are gedolim, they're over the age of 13, so the second the adam dies, they get their freedom, because since there's no yarshim, there's no one to inherit him, therefore they get their own freedom. Let's say, however, the halacha, let's say the avodim at that time were ketanim, they were minors. So again, they were owned as slaves, and their owner was a convert, and he died. And now you have these 10-year-old kids who are slaves. What happens to them? So the halacha is, I wrote down the Shulchan Aruch over here, the halacha is, ketanim ein lahem yad lizgais ba'asam. They don't have the right to get their own freedom. So they're like any other asset. Susan, that the ger owned when he died, the halacha is nichse hager hefker. I mean, this guy, this ger, I'm sorry, when he died, he owned a Rolls Royce. You can go grab it. If he had no yarshim, first come, first serve. So these avodim ketanim as well, first come, first serve. Whoever gets them, gets them. Now, says the Ramah, v'im loy zocha bahem adam, if no one merited to get these children, these slaves who were minors, ad she'e gadlu, until they became adults, ein lahem takana, they're stuck. Because what happened? Again, they were owned as slaves by a ger. The ger died. They're 10 years old. They somehow were hiding for the last 3 years. So no one was zeich in them, but they couldn't get their freedom because at the time of death, they were ketanim. Even though now they're gedolim, they're amaz paskening, it's too late. They lost their chance to go free. Their only chance to go free was when the owner died. Because Shas Misa, says the Avnezer, is not a continuum like the Shem Yishmol learned. Shas Misa is a one-time event. That's when their freedom was. At that point, they weren't halachically able to go free because they were ketan, they were tied. Therefore, it says, Avnei, you see from the halacha by Avadim that death works as a singular event. That's the shas of freedom, so to speak. And if a person can't get that shas freedom because they were ketanim, so just because now they became ketanim, it's too late. They lost the opportunity. Says Avnei, so too by a woman or a husband that dies, or say a woman who dies. So the misa automatically right away is matirit. Let's say the husband dies, so this woman right away now is mutter to get remarried. If the husband comes back to life an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours later, it doesn't make a difference. She's already a free woman, and she can go ahead and get remarried again. And as raya from Hilchas Avodim, that you see that death is a singular event. Once it happens, she's scot-free. Okay, so now basically we're left now with the halacha machlaikis between numerous paiskim, whether or not how we view death and how we view the resuscitation, I'd say after death, is that considered a person is a new being or not a new being? So what does that have to do with us in 2018? So like this, the tshuvas from the Tzitzel Yezer and many other paiskim as well, but I copy from him. The Tzitzel Yezer was the main paisik for the Shari Tzedek Hospital in Eretz Yisrael, and he was asked the following shah. This is roughly 30, 40 years ago. He was asked, and this is in source, it says 11, really it's source 10, in Ice Al, if he brings down the question. The bottom line, the question is, someone who goes for an open heart transplant, a surgery, where they're going to take out his old heart, put in a new heart, and for a short time in between, they're going to hook him up with a machine that's going to artificially keep him alive. But really, he's not alive anymore. A person without a heart is dead. It's true, they're keeping him alive with some type of fancy machinery that we're zeichel that nowadays we have, which is great. But how halachically is he viewed dead for when they took his heart out? Since when they take his heart out, he technically can't survive anymore. He's considered to be a treifa, or he's considered to be dead. Now, the fact that they're keeping him alive, is that considered somehow, you know, like, and they put a new heart in him, meaning even when they put the new heart in, they have to give him all his medications, and I didn't properly get all the medical facts down pat, but it's very possible that he won't accept the new heart, and his body will reject it, and that could be a tragic result. But the point is, he was asked, how to review this person who went through a heart transplant, is he considered to have been dead, and now he's resuscitated, or resurrected, and he's a new person, or not? I mean, do we compare this case, the heart transplant, the oldest discussion we had till now? When he goes back and forth, it's a lengthy tshuva. And in Eis Zion, he quotes from a Chassam Sofer, which is going to go back to where I pushed off Hillel before, about bringing back a raya from Matan Torah. And we're running out of time, but the Chassam Sofer is a tshuva, so then he brings at the end over here from, he says, it's 1, 2, 3, about 6, 7 lines from the bottom of the left paragraph, he says, he brings a Chassam Sofer, which I'm not going through right now, in Tshuvas, which he says supports the idea that the person is can still consider married. They didn't lose their original identity. And he says, Kefi Chassam Sofer Mefarash, Hayolam Oz, Aman Taira, Din Shal Mason Mamish. The Chassam Sofer brings that Gemara, like we discussed before, that Zman Man Taira, they were considered Mamish dead. Bishas Yotzin Nishmasanim, Kainere Yesh Raya Misham, Gam Lenidai Deinu, to our discussion of a heart transplant. So it's Rechen Kedusha Mechalish, do not need a new Kedushin. Kishachayza Luchyais, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar Loi Lemaish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Maish, Alacha Mikan, he says in Vayas Chanon, Lech Emolem, Shuvu Lachem Loi Lechen, go back to your tents. Shehutu ben Eshesei, the Torah is giving a direct tzivoy telling Klai Yisrael at this point, you're all permitted to your wives. Don't think. So the way he's learning the Chassam Sofer, I'm just speaking it out, is that the Chassam Sofer is learning into the Pesukim that Lehedja, the Torah was telling us, after Mount Torah, even though there was a death experience, and there was a resurrection, the Torah is telling us, Lehedja, Shuvu Lachem Lo'alechem, that everyone is now permitted to their wives, even though you would say, you can argue and say there's no Kedushin really ever, because beforehand, whether they were Yidden or weren't Yidden before Mount Torah, it's a whole discussion. But now that we definitely were given the mitzvah of Kedushin in its full sense, to get married with Edim, etc., that didn't exist beforehand as a mitzvah. So maybe you can argue and say they shouldn't be halachically married. The Chassam Sofer learns into the Pesukim. That's the next Maramakim as well. We ran out of time, but also the Chassam Sofer there reads into the Pesukim as well, that the idea is that you would have thought that the marriage between Ish and Ishtar would have been negated by Mount and Torah because they all died. And Halach is, says the Chassam Sofer, and this is where the Tzitzel Yezer Paskins, that they are still considered married, and therefore Tzitzel Yezer, and I saw in the Alan Candle lent me the Sefer V'Dibar Tzobam, it's a Talmud from Avdov Feinstein, Shlita, and he Paskins there as well, and Chelik Beis, that Halach HaMais, if someone would go through an open heart surgery today, they should be gesund and well, and they don't have to worry about getting remarried to their wife. They're still married when they come back, they still own their estate, they don't lose their Ferrari, they don't lose their whatever else they might have had, and we should all live and be healthy, and Yashar Koach everyone for coming.
But it could do, but there's still could off. Be a difference between if a malach brings it back or a